This is Investor IQ on News Radio 570 WWNC.
And we are back. Good morning. Thank you so much for spending some of your morning with us. Appreciate that very much. Before the break, we were discussing some of the studies, the research studies that have probed the depths of the investor psyche to see just how warped it actually is. Having an investment advisory firm, we talk to people on a regular basis, and we unwittingly become privy to some of their thinking. And what I've done is to make a list of some of the false thinking that we have run across at various points in time. One of the most prominent mistakes that I think investors make is that they tend to act on tips or sound bites. A lot of people seem to get investment ideas from the media. That in almost no case is ever good. So this show, you're not going to be receiving investment tips. We're not going to talk about individual stocks or things like that. But we will be talking about fundamental concepts that you should be able to apply. The first thing that you might need to keep in mind, when you're listening to the tube, is that the media really doesn't have any idea as to what your investment plan is. So if you have a particular, structured plan that you're trying to abide by, and Jim Cramer's on the tube espousing the hot tip of the week, the likelihood of that meshing well with what you're trying to accomplish in terms of your goals is not likely to be very high. The other thing is that predictions are so often made on TV, but they're rarely checked. So before I recorded today's show, I thought I'd take a look at some of the predictions that Jim Cramer has made, since he's such a prominent target. And just using Wikipedia, back on February 29th of 2000, which was about a week before the tech bubble busted, Cramer delivered what he referred to as the Winners of the New World speech at the 6th Annual Internet and Electronic Commerce Conference in New York. And in that speech, Cramer recommended 10 stocks and went on to say, "I wouldn't own any other stocks in the year 2000. Well, just doing a little bit of fact-checking, by 2009, every one of the companies that Cramer mentioned in that speech had either gone out of business, or had been taken over by competitors, or they trade at small fractions of their 2000 stock price. So that's kind of a telling story. There's more, though. In August of 2007, Barron's ran a cover story saying that Cramer's picks have not beaten the market. Over the past 2 years, viewers holding Cramer's stocks would have been up around 12%, while the Dow Jones Industrials rose about 22%, and the S&P 500 rose 16%. And in February of 2009, Barron's ran another story that suggested that betting against Cramer's buy recommendations would yield, or could yield, a 25% per month return based on options market activity. I'm not quite clear as to what they mean by options market activity, but the article itself would be telling enough, just betting against Cramer. So I think the important thing to keep in mind there is that insider tips can be kind of alluring and seem like a promising way to give your portfolio a quick boost, but you have to remember that investing against professionals is kind of tough, because those professionals probably have had access to that same tip most likely before you have. So it's very probable that that tip is already reflected in the price of the security that you're considering. Martha Stewart might want to remind you that it's actually illegal to trade on insider information to the extent that it would be material. So, inside information that really would have no bearing on the price of a stock or security, you can trade on that because it doesn't matter. But if it really is a big deal, if you do have the information, you'd be better served by letting it go and letting it become public information before you make a trade on that. Another thing to keep in mind is that so many of the hot tips that people receive, sometimes through email, other channels, sometimes they're left on voice machines at home. Done in such a way that they appear to be wrong numbers, so that you're receiving a tip that really was supposed to go to some other well-connected person. So many of those are really fraudulent, and in retrospect, investors find out that they're typically connected with what's called a pump and dump scheme, where there's some kind of promoter who already owns the shares, where he, she, or they will make a marketing effort to promote the stock, drive the share price up, and then while people who are listening to their phone machine or calling their brokers telling them to purchase the stock, the promoters are selling into this increased price and they make big money. So that's absolutely illegal, but don't kid yourself for a moment that that does not happen. It happens all the time. Other mistakes that people make, sometimes people have an investment time horizon that really has no relation to their real time horizon. So they will impose calendar subdivisions, you know, like how did my portfolio do quarterly or monthly? But really what they're supposed to be looking at is the long-term picture and giving some recognition to the fact that variable assets will vary. But sometimes investors lose their perspective and they impose these artificial dividers and time periods on what is really a long-term game. So these artificial dividers, these monthly return figures, they really don't care at all. They're not related in any way to long-term market movements or interest rate cycles or economic cycles or financial calamity hiccups that you know we might experience from time to time. So people sometimes invest with a long-term view, but then their actions speak of short-term reactions. Sometimes we see that people feel the need to kind of make big gains, or what we call hitting investment home runs. Just as an analogy, in 2008, Philly slugger Ryan Howard, he hit, I think it was 48 home runs, but he also struck out 199 times. So the 48 home runs certainly is a headline-getting figure, but some of the headline gurus some of the baseball gurus would suggest that those home runs came at too high of a cost. So I think the lesson here is that successful investing really has more to do with hitting a lot of singles rather than necessarily hitting the ball extra. So be sure to tune into Investor IQ next week, where we'll discuss more foibles of the investor psyche. And be sure to check out the podcasts that are available on WWNC.com. My name is Glenn Wessel, and that's all we have for this week. Thanks very much.
This has been Investor IQ with Glenn Wessel. Join us next Saturday morning for straight talk about financial topics that impact you.